B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome into Checkpoint XP Daily for Friday, August 16th, 2019. Your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the Talk of Las Vegas, 101.5 FM and 720 AM, as well as KJR 950 in Seattle, Washington. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, we're going to take a look at some of the difficulties the FGC has been going through. Plus, we'll look ahead to what's going on this weekend because we've got a busy esports weekend. Those discussions are ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But we start today with Gamescom. Gamescom is coming up next week. Thank God, because we have not had any kind
we need
of
some help.
Meaningful video game news since E3.
My God, there are two times of the year that are just completely insufferable.
Yep.
One of them is about the last week of July through about now, through Gamescom, and the other is the holiday break.
January.
Yeah. Like,
specifically about
January.
Yeah, January and February.
Two, 3 weeks into January until everything starts back up.
Literally, until LCS and Overwatch League kick off, because the period of time between then and Christmas is a nightmare.
It's not just no gaming and no esports.
There's nothing going on at that
time. There's really nothing going on.
So we finally have Gamescom. It comes out next Tuesday. We are like here.
Less than a week away.
Thank God.
So a couple things we want to talk about and give some predictions on. First of all, I think we should start with the Stadia Connect, because Stadia is holding the next Connect on Monday. What are you guys hoping to see?
Here's what I'm hoping to see. The major thing is I need to know what's the launch library going to be looking like. I need a confirmation. I saw a whole bunch of splash screens about studios. I need to know what the games are, and I also need to know exclusives.
Yes.
Exclusives,
that's
exclusives, exclusives. What is Stadia going to be able to bring to me that I can't get anywhere else? And if they don't want to, necessarily jump into that pool right at this moment, I think they're really doing themselves a disservice.
You need to show me what I'm missing out on by not having Stadia.
Yeah, no, I think I'm with Norris on this one. It's got to, like, the game library is the big make or break at this point, right? I'm sold on the concept, but I need to know what type of selection I have to pick from, because if it's only, like 50 or so games and maybe I want to play four of them, it's not going to get the job done.
Exactly. I mean, I can agree with the idea that, the games library is of course going to be a big thing. I mean, your average console has 20 to 35 games or so at release. So I'd like something, a little higher than that for Stadia, given that it's Google. But I don't need exclusives for it. I mean, I'm sold on the concept of I can take my Steam library with me anywhere and play it on any, surface.
I mean,
I'm into that. I don't need it to have exclusive titles on it. I just need it to be functional, and I need it to have a good library.
Yeah, see, I also agree with that. It doesn't need to be necessary exclusives, right? But as I've said before, Stadia coming fresh to the scene has a big backlog of video games that they could potentially pull from. And I think that could also make for a really appealing game library.
I mean, I agree with you, but if you're not going to go with exclusives, then you need to go with maybe some rarer games that people have been clamoring for. If you're Google Stadia, and for somebody like me, you come out and say, hey, we're going to offer Marvel vs. Capcom and Rival Schools right out the gate, and you could go play them, I'm losing it. That's $100 to find those on resale markets by themselves anyway. So that's the price of admission right there.
I think the only exclusives that you would see on Stadia would be small indie developers, because if someone major, they're not going to want to risk it on an unproven platform, an unproven technology yet.
No, but
they're going to want to see it, work for a year.
I'm saying is it may not necessarily need to be ready launch, but I need to know of an exclusive coming down the pipeline. That's what I'm saying. The games library day one needs to be good, but I also need to know that, hey, we're looking at stuff that is going to be bespoke to our platform.
Not just that, but there's also the technological aspect of Stadia, where their exclusives might be way different from what we're used to with console exclusives. Because, again, with Stadia, you don't have to host any of those files locally. So let's say someone wants to build a truly massive world.
That can't exist on a console.
Right. That would be, it would be 150 gigs. Yeah, like,
space
that's
prohibitive.
Not, right. Like, that's yeah. not, that's
not feasible.
Some, it's not feasible. It's not fair to ask the user to download that. How do you patch that?
Well, for theory's sake, go bigger. Something that's half a terabyte in size.
Okay, there
you
go.
You're never going to be able to ask a consumer to buy a hard drive specifically for your game if you're not Final Fantasy XI. Apparently,
unless you're bundling that hard drive with the game.
Right. Exactly. So that is more along the lines of the exclusives that I am really interested to see. People who are pushing the limits of gaming as a medium is going to be really interesting, but we should not expect those straight out of the gate.
No, I think that's unfair.
No. We should not expect those. You know, you got to have developers have some time to be able to get their hands on it. And then let's say you even set out to make a world that big, you've got a detail.
Oh my god,
that's gonna take so much time.
Yeah, but to add on to that, Joe, I'm not saying like that they need to go out and like secure the rights like Skyrim 6 or the next Fallout or anything like
Skyrim 6.
You mean the Elder Scrolls 6?
Yeah, whatever. But to know that Microsoft is working on stuff because they obviously know what they're capable of. They've known for a while. They have to have something in the, you know, going on behind the scenes right now that isn't just new indie games.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. We're currently kind of speculating on some of the announcements that are going to be coming along with Gamescom. Obviously, we've got the Stadia Direct Conference that is one day preceding Gamescom. So let's actually talk about Gamescom. What are you expecting to see out of Gamescom?
Yeah, so I mean, we know Ford's set to make a big announcement. We're likely going to get a new announcement on the Resident Evil franchise, but I actually got a list from Gamescom of major developers that are planning to be making a world premiere content or announcement.
Interesting.
Ooh. Yeah, so let's go through this list. 2K.
So 2K games.
Yep, yeah. 2K games. Yeah.
So Borderlands.
Sure. Probably something.
Probably. Yeah.
Activision.
Call of Duty.
Okay.
Call of Duty Modern Warfare announcement, probably.
Possibly.
I would think.
Yeah.
Bandai Namco.
Ooh. What's
Dark Souls?
Could be.
Because
hands-on with Dragon Ball DLC.
From Software has developed games under a variety of different umbrellas.
They have, yeah. So. Bandai Namco, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, you're right. Dragon Ball FighterZ might be an interesting
game. Yes, hands-on with some new characters.
That's probably what I'm thinking, yeah.
Bungie?
Oh.
What is Bungie doing right now?
Developing the new Halo for the... Oh, wait, that's not Bungie. They lost it.
Yeah, 343 Studios, and they're doing... Are they still doing... They'd be doing Destiny stuff, I'd assume, right?
That'd probably be your best bet is something Destiny related.
Ugh, yeah.
They got to retain the intellectual property for Destiny when they split off.
Yeah, so probably Destiny, something like that. Capcom, I'm guessing Resident Evil, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. EA... Jedi Fallen Order.
Yeah.
And FIFA.
And FIFA, those will both be happening. Epic.
Mm.
Fortnite Esports, something?
Mm. I mean, we already got a big...
Rocket League.
I was about to say,
It could. Well, yeah, Rocket League, Gamescom, but it also that could also tie into the Ford presentation as well.
That's possible.
Yeah.
I don't think it's Fortnite. We just got a big patch.
Stadia, obviously, we just got into that. Deep Silver.
Deep Silver.
That's a good question. Yep. What are they even
making?
Did
they do the Sinking City, or who was that?
No, Deep Silver, I know that they did the Metro games, so...
That's right. That's right.
Wasteland 3's coming out soon.
Okay.
Are they doing something with Shenmue 3?
It is
on their site.
Okay.
Maybe interesting.
So, Shenmue 3.
Yeah, that seems likely. Private Division, which I'm assuming is going to be the Outer Worlds. I assume that'll be them.
Yeah.
Here's an interesting one. Sega.
Sega.
Return to the Seaman.
Seaman 2.
First of all, that'd be hilarious.
Phrasing.
Put it on my Switch.
Yeah. Phrasing.
Does Sega own Atlas or vice versa or whatever?
Yes, Sega does own Atlas.
Yeah. Persona.
So Persona R.
Persona R. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah. Persona R. Yeah, that makes sense. Square Enix FF8 remaster,
yeah.
I'm assuming.
Yeah, probably.
Probably FF7.
We probably get our from
FF7.
Well, we also haven't heard much on the Avengers game that's being developed by
Crystal Dynamics.
Yeah. They're supposed to have a pretty big presence out there, so I could see all those.
That's
being
the thing, man. Square Enix actually could go into 2020 with a pretty halfway decent lineup that people are looking forward to.
Yeah, FF8 remaster at the end of the year this year.
FF7 next year.
Yeah, they're going to have a good year next year.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Sony is making their return.
Sony is going to be there.
They confirmed their presence.
They should have an interesting panel look at the PS5
or Death Stranding.
Death Stranding's not.
I mean, this we're in our final marketing push for Death Stranding. I'm going to guess that's probably going to have a significant presence.
I've been hearing rumors that the PS5 is going to get its reveal in
February 2020.
Yeah, February 13th or something like that. I think I heard was the date.
I've been hearing.
That's like the leaking rumor right now is that it's going to be there. THQ Nordic. I have no idea.
They're doing Biomutant, but the last few times I've seen it, it's still like in pretty early development. So I don't know.
And then rounding it out with Ubisoft and Xbox.
That could be literally
anything.
I mean, that's going to be a lot of things.
Ubisoft, all the things.
Xbox, all the things.
Yeah.
Xbox might get a leg up and do a little bit more with Scarlet. They might show a little bit more of Project Scarlet off.
It's possible.
Probably xCloud, too. If Stadia's going the day before them, they'll probably try and do some xCloud.
That's a good point. Also, depending on what Sony ends up showing off, you know, like... they're not going to have a whole ton of time for marketing while there's also not marketing for PS5.
Right.
So, yeah, I would say that they're probably going to push Scarlet as hard as they can.
They should over the next couple months for sure. And you know where I really want them to show it hard this year is Tokyo Game Show.
Yeah.
With all the difficulties that current gen has had breaking into the Japanese market, they need to push that system hard
or just give up on that region.
Yeah, don't half-ass it. If you want to call it a quits on that market, do that or go in.
I just don't think that Microsoft understands fundamentally the Japanese game market.
I'd agree with that. I really don't think this might be the last time we even really see Microsoft even attempt at a play because the last
three consoles have sold dismally in Japan, so you know, why would you even bother?
I mean, sold is a strong word.
Yeah. That literally, sold is a euphemism.
They didn't even stock them unless you pre-ordered.
Well, we want to hear from you. What from Gamescom are you interested in hearing about? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, we're going to look ahead to what's going on over the weekend, because it's a huge esports weekend. That conversation will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, we got to talk about some of these difficulties that are going on in the FGC. It's not fun to talk about it, but we're gonna try. That's ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on WXSM Tri-Cities, Tennessee, as well as ESPN Phoenix 620. Checkpoint XP Daily is now a part of the BPod Network at bpodstudios.com. For more great listening options, like If You Give a Rick a podcast for kids about the world of children's books, and Nerd Radio for everything from sci-fi to wrestling to all things nerdy in between, who will be here on this channel Wednesdays at noon Eastern. You can check them out over at bpodstudios.com, the place to be for podcast discovery. We have not talked about the difficulties
that the FGC has been going through, not because we're not aware of them, not because we're ignoring them, just because we were waiting for enough of them to pile on to create a 12-minute segment out of them. And it seems like we're there.
Yeah, we're getting close.
We're getting close. So if you haven't been following this story, first of all, in the wake of EVO 2019, unfortunately, a lot of reports came out of the event and the after parties, the event of, you know, multiple instances of sexual harassment, sexual misconduct. A few content creators actually said that some people had been groped or drugged at some point.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
It was really, really, really bad. Thankfully, crimes, quote unquote.
Yeah, there were not any reports of sexual assaults.
That is good.
Just kind of caveat that, yeah.
But in a week beyond that, we saw even more concrete sort of evidence against certain folks in the FGC. And it has not really gone away, and finally the FGC was forced to respond.
And this is such a bummer, because this is a scene that we really do root for. Like, the FGC is one of the last true great endemic esports scenes.
Totally.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, it hurts me very much so, especially because this is a scene that I've grown up in, that I've loved. And some of these names are names I know, and I've been around for a very long time. So, you know, one of the first issues that came about was from a esports photographer by the name of Chris Bond on a Facebook post from the On Blast show, which is a podcast that covers gaming and the FGC. A post came out saying a number of women had exchanged quote unquote war stories about traveling in the FGC, and this guy's name continuously came up as one who was very inappropriate, engaged in inappropriate touching, would crawl into bed with people. It was not good. So in a statement to Dexerto, he all but owned up to it, said he was going to be going to therapy and all that stuff, but he has been banned from CEO. He's been banned from Combo Breaker.
He's a pretty well-known photographer.
Very well-known photographer. As a matter of fact, was a nominee for Esports Photographer of the Year.
Really?
By the Esports Awards for 2019. Yuck. So it really, really sucks to see such a well-known guy do something like this.
Right. Months before that, we had seen somebody voluntarily exit the Smash community.
That's right.
I
forget who that was.
Captain Zach. I think Captain Zach is
no.
Who?
Captain Zach that, was who he was dating.
Yeah, right.
Who was underage at the time.
Oh, yeah. Right.
So that was not a good look.
No, but I mean, fortunately, that one seemed to be, you know, like as soon as that report came out, he was like, "All right, well, I, you know, that's done."
Well, he stepped away before he could be kicked out.
He needed to be forcibly removed.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
I mean, that's on the heels too of the issues at CEO, where a fight broke out.
That's right. Where Osiris allegedly attacked someone inside of a bathroom.
Yep.
He's been banned from numerous events. So a lot of this has really just been piling on in the past few months when it comes to the FGC. It's really unfortunate. But this week, Capcom laid down a ruling for Guilty, who is a very well-known personality in the FGC scene, had been on E-League's Street Fighter reality show.
It's by the way, the name is spelled G-L-L-T-Y.
Yes. Had been on E-League's sort of fighting game reality show, and she has now been banned by Capcom Pro Tour again for inappropriate touching,
groping,
just really lewd comments to other competitors. And in a tweet, essentially a Twitter thread, all of this has come out. A tweet from Yohosi. She said that Guilty groped her at EVO 2015. And so all of this has happened over the past month.
Wow, not been a good month for the FGC.
There's a quote from Guilty that says, "I've flirted with a lot of women, and in more than one instance, I've made them feel uncomfortable. It's my obligation to take responsibility. I'm not sure what to do next, but taking ownership of my own actions is the first step. And then it goes on to say that as a transgender woman, Guilty wanted to separate, quote, separate her negative choices from the rest of the LGBT and trans community. If you are defending me, I would recommend you question yourself as to why.
And I think that's, no, I think that's really important.
Well,
I think
it's very self-reflective. You very rarely get that in moments like this.
No, you do.
And, and that's very earnest.
It is.
You know, I give her credit for that.
Yes. And here's the thing is that, you know, a number of tweets had gone out that say, listen, this is not a reason for you to be transphobic. This is not a reason for you to be racist, because a lot of ugly comments came out of the result of these two particular instances. And again, as a community, as gamers, as members of the FGC community, it's been great to see people step up and speak out, but at the same time, let's make sure we're not taking it to the point of, you know, pitchforks and flaming torches.
Yeah, nobody wants that, certainly. Yeah. And, you know, these are unfortunate situations. But I have to say, in terms of the way that people normally react to stuff like this, this is, you know, a lot better than, you know, some other instances that I can name.
No, I agree. And, you know, we talk often on this show about esports has a chance to be better than the, you know,
those that came before
That came before them.
Right.
And I think this is a part of the FGC and esports really trying to do its best to clean its act up.
Absolutely.
And, you know, this was not something that needed to be done from on high. Of course, Capcom, as a game maker, and Guilty was in the Capcom Pro Tour, they had to make a statement. But these were things that were done by individual tournament organizers in the community doing it for itself.
Well again, you know, Joe pointed out at the start of this segment that the FGC is still one of the truly sort of grassroots endemic sort of brands, and they take care of themselves.
They do, and it's good to see that they were able to do this without necessarily involving quote unquote the money people.
Right.
And that would have been the worst. If you would have saw, you know, Red Bull start to get involved and make statements, another, you know, other of the big title sponsors, that would have been really, really, really bad.
Well,
but
and
I think
and
by,
we were able to get through it without, you know, the need of like hashtag boycott Street Fighter V or anything.
Or it becoming a huge controversy.
Yeah, it didn't have to become that. It was just, hey, this happened. It has been brought to light. Take ownership of it. And in some cases, punish yourself for it,
right?
And just move on.
And again,
appreciate that.
And again, you know, Nate, you hit the nail on the head. This is a example of a community and of a space getting it right.
Yeah,
they got it right,
and being self reflective, and you know, and not being defensive. Yeah. That's the other that seems to be the two roads that you can take. Is you can be self reflective, and you can go, oh wow, I must have really done something terrible here.
How do I better the situation?
Yeah, what do I do to try to make steps to correct this?
Mm-hmm.
And then the other way to go about it is to deny and to get defensive,
mm-hmm. deflect,
exactly,
deflect. You know, call the lawyers,
which
dig your
seems
heels
to be, I mean, and I hate to say
this,
in 2019 is like norm. Like that's the norm.
It is a norm.
Far more than somebody standing up and taking responsibility for their own actions.
No, I agree. And I think it's even intelligent, you know, for folks to say, hey, listen, even if I don't necessarily, quote unquote, recall this person or recall this event, that's usually how it works. It's not that big of a deal to you, but it is a life-changing, traumatic event to somebody who's been victimized.
Right.
So I think it was very important in both of these cases for both of these individuals who have been accused to have that self-reflection and to turn around and say, you know what, we're going to take a step back and we're going to do what we need to do to correct ourselves. So.
Absolutely. Well, we want to hear from you. Have you ever experienced anything like this inside of gaming, you know, inside of esports? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. And what do you think of the self-reflection that's come out of this? Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll take a look ahead to a incredibly busy weekend in esports. Stick around. That's here next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on CBS Sports Radio 1300 in Baltimore, as well as the Ticket 1230 in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. You've been asking for it, and it's finally here. Checkpoint XP merch is officially available. We've got shirts, hats, hoodies, and mugs for Checkpoint XP and Low Team Damage, and more soon to come. Check it out over at CheckpointXP.com/shop. We are looking ahead towards a really big esports weekend. There's a lot of stuff going down, and we might as well start with this. Right now, the 2019 Pokemon World Championship VGC Day 1 is underway. And that's what at least I'm going to be doing for some of my weekend.
Yeah, I mean, this weekend is jam-packed.
Yes.
I mean, in a way that we haven't seen in a long time. We've got the International. We've got the Call of Duty World Championship. We've got Pokemon. And we got LCS.
Yep.
All going on this weekend.
Yes.
Yep. So, Nate, you're watching Pokemon.
I am watching Pokemon. And the thing is I've been watching Pokemon through today's show as well.
Right.
I tapped out of the 2019 Ultra Sun and Moon meta because it's so boring and so stale.
All the time.
No. No, I mean it's Incineroar and Mega Groudon and basically like two others that you can slot in there, some kind of Tapu, and then it's
the
just
Tapu.
Boring. It's boring, and I don't like. I haven't liked watching any of the 2019 meta. I've watched several matchups today. Still incredibly boring. Now the thing is that you throw Dynamax on top of it, I'm still not that enthralled with what you're bringing to the competitive table. So it's going to be interesting to see. Now, my question is, especially going into Sword and Shield, whether or not Dynamax will have any role on duos, on double,
Because
there's a good chance that they may just not build that in as a feature, and then it doesn't end up impacting competitive Pokemon as much.
Yeah, I'm curious to see, like, Sword and Shield in general, I feel like, is going to have a pretty big impact. Because the Dynamax thing, we still don't have a whole lot of information about how exactly it's going to work from a stats perspective.
Yeah.
The only thing I'm really hopeful for with Dynamaxing is that maybe it'll allow more Pokemon that, like, because right now, like you say, there's about four Pokemon that are competitively viable. My only hope for it is that it'll make that pool go up a lot.
Yeah, it could also bring some utility to less used Pokemon. But then again, if we've got a limited dex to choose from competitively, you got to wonder how that's going to end up impacting it too. So we got to shift our focus over to the LCS. We've got important semifinals going down.
That's right.
Joe, what are you expecting this weekend from the LCS?
Man, I'm expecting a great weekend. Obviously, if you're in the Detroit area, make sure you come on down to Game Time in Auburn Hills, where we're going to be broadcasting from both days of the semifinals this weekend.
That's
we'll be there about 5 o'clock Saturday and 3 o'clock on Sunday. So if you're in the area, stop in, have a drink, have some great food, watch some LCS with us. We're really excited. So Saturday we've got C9 versus CLG. I feel like the match of the weekend.
Yeah.
It's definitely the match of the weekend.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, listen, I think everyone is logically saying that C9 is going to end up coming out on top of this, right? The last time that Cloud9 and CLG came up against one another, Cloud9 ended up coming on top of that very handily, by the way.
It was a blowout.
It was not even close. It
wasn't good to watch.
Yeah, so, but the thing is, though, is that I would love to see CLG play spoilers to Cloud9 making it to the finals.
Yeah,
I'd love to see that in theory.
We'd love to see it in theory because I'd love to see Joe get his heart broken at the finals.
That's what I want.
Yeah,
that's what I want. I hope he cries. I want to get his hopes up enough that when we're all in LCA for the finals, that he actively actually cries when they get the mud hole stomped in him by Team Liquid.
See, let me tell you, it's an unlikely scenario, but this is the only scenario where that could happen. All right, CLG has to beat C9, and Clutch has to upset Team Liquid. Because I'm not going to have my heart broken if Team Liquid beats CLG. I've kind of come to the terms of that.
Sure.
I'm picking Team Liquid to win all the way.
But if Clutch ends up upsetting Team Liquid...
And then beats CLG...
Oh no!
Oh my God! My heart would shatter.
I want it so bad.
I will vomit my heart into my hands.
If it happens,
and hold it out.
You have to put out a reaction video if that happens, Joe.
Oh no!
Yes.
Oh,
no. I'll be dying. You'll have to film it.
So we've also got the international underway. It's the largest prize pool in all of esports.
Snore. It is the most
and the biggest snooze fest.
Snore. Oh. You were talking about how boring professional Pokemon was this season. Dude, I tried to watch the international this year. And here's the thing. The international in Dota 2 has the newcomer stream. They go out of their way to try to make this accessible for new people. I don't know Dota very much, but I like to watch the newcomer stream because it helps me get caught up to speed.
Sure.
It is the driest. It is watching paint dry turn like level boring for esports. It's not great.
As a fan of MOBA games, like I try to get into Dota. It is a slower, more plodding version of League of Legends, in my opinion, but the casting at this event, people are very, very critical of it, and I agree with them.
And here, see, that's the difference between Pokemon has a stale meta. It's a problem with the game.
Yeah.
It seems like Dota's big problem is with the casters. I mean, yes, they have a slower game, yes, but you can translate that in your casting.
No, right. I agree, but the thing is that if your casters, if something big just happened and your casters are not translating that through the excitement of their delivery, then the whole broadcast is dead.
Absolutely.
The whole thing.
That makes sense. Because I'm like, Dota is basically just League of Legends. Why is it such a big disconnect?
That don't ever let somebody who plays Dota hear you say that.
Yeah, anyone who listens to the show that loves Dota now hates you.
Yeah.
Just so
else is new.
So we also have the Call of Duty World Championships. Those have gotten underway with group stages these last couple days.
Where are those being played? Are those out in California in their normal studio?
I feel like it's Los Angeles.
Okay.
Yeah, that sounds right. I actually will take some time to check this out because...
Really?
As with many esports, like, you know, fighting games or Overwatch, I feel like the time to get in is at a final because you want the atmosphere. You want to know who to...
You want the stakes.
You want the stakes. You want the big players. So I want to take the time and really watch this. I think the thing is that watching the CWL in particular, not necessarily Call of Duty, but the CWL in particular just gives me the biggest headache because the game is so fast.
Yeah, it is very fast-paced.
You know, and just the way that the graphics themselves are laid out. But I'm going to give it a try. I'm going to check it out because I think this scene, especially moving into 2020 with franchising and home away, I think that's going to be a big deal. And I want to try to see who are the people we should be following in this scene.
Fair enough. Well, and I'm going to make it a point to try to watch some Overwatch over the weekend.
That's right. Now,
Norris, you're actually going to be out next week for a couple of days. So Robbie needs a co-host over on Low Team Damage.
Kaplan, help me.
And I've stepped up to the plate with my expertise in Overwatch.
Well, luckily, there's not going to be a whole lot for you to really tune into. I mean, looking at the schedule, besides maybe watching your favorite teams, the only things that are going to be worth anything is personally, even this is something I never thought I'd ever say, but Washington versus Atlanta should be a fun match to watch. They're both undefeated this stage, but they're both bottom of the ladder, so nothing's happening. The only game that I think at this point is that's determining anything is the Seoul versus Philly match.
Oh, okay.
Neither of them are getting into top six, but they're both already in top 12, so it's literally just for seeding purposes at this point.
Well, I'll make sure to watch those two matches mm-hmm. specifically. But yeah, I've been honestly checked out of OWL for most of season two, so it'll be nice to see, you know, what Rollock has done, you know, how they've evolved the product over season two. So
how far the Boston Uprising have fallen?
Oh man, you keep telling me about
it. The answer is a lot.
You keep telling me about it, and it just makes me sad.
The answer is the most.
It just makes me
falling off the most.
But yeah, that's most of the events that are going on this weekend. We want to hear from you. What are you going to be watching? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website, checkpointxp.com, for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a full archive of podcasts and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at Weird At Last. com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. And of course, my co-hosts who pull double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's Nate Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.